Vladimir Putin heads to China as Russia's new international partner falls on hard times. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast here at RFRL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is Pavel Butorin, senior editor for RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
A pleasure to be here.
Pleasure to have you. So Putin's off to Beijing on Wednesday to visit his new best friend, Chinese President Xi Jinping. And according to the Kremlin, the two leaders will sign 20 bilateral documents, most related to agreements made when Xi visited Russia last spring. But China hasn't turned out to be the savior Russia had hoped for, has it, Pavel?
No, it hasn't. Amid his growing isolation in the West, Putin has turned to China for support, both on the geopolitical stage and also as a trade partner. For the past decade, Putin has been trying to free Russia from energy dependency on European markets, and you will recall the 30-year gas deal signed by Russia and China in May 2014. But there has been a slowdown, as we all know, in China's economic growth. You've got the recent devaluation of the Chinese yuan, and China is simply realizing that it does not need as much energy as it had thought. And as we well know, Chinese investors have suspended some plans to build the pipeline.
So there
are so many issues between Russia and China. I don't even know if we have time for this. But then you've got the One Belt, One Road.
Right, which is competing program with Russia's interests in Central Asia.
It basically bypasses Russia. I mean, its route, if you look at the map, lies to Moscow, lies via Ukraine.
Right.
And of course, we know that Ukraine has now become China's most important source of corn all of a sudden. So, and China and Ukraine have a strategic partnership agreement, and Beijing's closer ties with Kiev may not sit well in Moscow, which has been hit by sanctions by the United States.
Nor have Beijing's closer ties with Georgia.
Absolutely.
China is investing heavily in Georgia. I mean, basically, we have two sets of problems here, is the way I see it. We have the kind of the situational problem of the slowing Chinese economy that's reducing demand for Russian gas. Exports to China have already decreased by 20% in 2015 as compared to 2014. So you have these things related to the economic troubles that have hit China right now. As you mentioned, the Chinese investors have suspended plans to build a pipeline that was going to supply 30 billion cubic meters of gas a year to China. That's suspended indefinitely. But then you got kind of structural problems that objectively Russia and Chinese interests clash in Central Asia. You also have these fears of so-called colonialism in Siberia. China's identified, by my last count, about 9 plots of land, very large plots of land in Siberia and in the Far East, one of them in Transbaikal, where they want to not just rent the land, they want to import workers to be in this land. There's fears of colonization.
That's been going on for a while. And in fact, we have a video report coming out today from Russia's Transbaikal or Zabaikalia region, where Chinese companies have been logging trees for more than a decade. And they're not just logging trees. They're bringing their own workers. And, you know, you have the we have local residents protesting, and we have an interview with a local communist leader vehemently protesting the arrival and what he calls assimilation of Chinese workers. This is our land, and so it's not really boding well with the local population.
And there's plans, according to my account, of like about 9 places in the Far East, in Siberia, where China wants to they want to not just rent the land, they want to import massive amounts. They're going to create little Chinese cities there, or at least that's the image that comes to my mind and a lot of people's minds in Siberia. From what I've been hearing, Moscow seems to be okay with this.
But you know what? They're not doing anything illegal.
No.
It's all according to the Russian law, and you can create a company and rent land and, fell trees and do whatever you want. So,
But whether it's legal or not, it's politically sensitive, no?
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
But there's if you look at this, you were talking about other problems in the relationship. What else do you see out there?
Well, however, despite all these disagreements and troubles, China for Putin is something of a model that he can definitely copy. That includes a measure of political isolationism, economic growth coupled with internet and mass media censorship, and that kind of model certainly appeals to the Russian leadership.
Yeah, although the model, I mean, the Chinese system, I don't think is a system for Russia to imitate, that Russia can imitate, because it's a system based on institutions. There's rotation of the leadership. They're continually bringing in fresh cadres. You're president for 5 years and you're out. And that's I don't see happening in Russia anytime soon. What do you expect to go on this week? I mean, they're going to sign 20 bilateral agreements. Are we expecting any big announcements?
That's what the press release says. Yeah, that they're going to send about 20 bilateral documents. But there'll also be room for some diplomacy. Well, we have a North Korean delegate at the parade, at the military parade. Mm-hmm. By the way, most Western leaders will not attend the parade. Right. And in fact, the highest ranking European leader will be Czech President Miloš Zeman.
Right. This is the parade to mark the 70th anniversary of World War II in China. Yeah.
And we know that South Korea and Japan will not be attending.
Right. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. We'll keep close watch on this visit and this evolving relationship between Russia and China. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast, and joining me has been Pavel Butorin, senior producer for RFURL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.